We are in the book of Ephesians. We find ourselves in chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Shall we pray? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that you would take the message this morning and apply it to our heart and life through thy Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, guide us into all truth. And we pray that today, if there's one that does not know Christ as Savior, that today would be that day of salvation. For we pray it in thy name. Amen. Okay, last time we looked at this verse, and therefore it says the prisoner of the Lord, talking about the Apostle Paul, and he says, I implore you, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy. Now picture yourself for a moment as you think of your salvation. You say, well, there's absolutely no way that I can be worthy of the calling of being a Christian. So can you imagine having a discussion with the Apostle Paul? Certainly we believe in the inspiration of Scripture that God spoke. It was revealed to the Apostle Paul, so this is not man's word. But nonetheless, can you imagine Paul saying, I'm writing this letter, and I've reached this other chapter, and it says to walk worthy of the Lord, or to walk in a manner worthy, that your conduct of life and so forth. And what about this walk worthy? And you go, well, Paul, we can't walk worthy. Oh, yeah, you got a pencil? An eraser? I'll change that. It doesn't quite work that way. There is, what this means is that there is a responsibility, not that we would walk worthy of our salvation in the sense of earning, but that we have a responsibility if we're going to be Christians being regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God, that He has placed upon us a responsibility. And this is when you hear somebody talk about the fact that if you're going to talk the talk, you've got to what? See, you guys knew that. And so this is what it is. There's a responsibility. So salvation then carries with it responsibility. And you say, well, what does that look like, Pastor Dave? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because it tells us in the text that you take with that humility. Humility. Humility is the opposite of pride. Remember the devil? I will be like the Most High. God said, I don't think so. Okay? We are too full of our own selves. If any man wants to be my disciple, he must first of all what? Deny himself. Take up his cross and follow him. We take with it humility, gentleness, patience, and then we bear with that this tolerance for one another in love. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. It endures all things. Now you would ask yourself if you think, here's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking through God, speaking through the Apostle Paul to the church at Ephesus, and he says, now after you walk worthy, and you couple together all these Christian graces of humility, the Christian grace of gentleness and patience, I want you to do this. Verse 3. Be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And we're going to camp out at verse 3 here today, just for a few moments. Unity. And you think, well, Oh my word, all I have to look at is the church down through history, and I kind of see this big picture of anything but, you know? There's this denomination over here and that denomination, but then we have the non-denominational. Not going to peg us. Gotcha. Well, what was the concern here at the church? The Apostle Paul had converts there at Ephesus. He writes them later on, we find out, in the book of Acts, and he says, I'm not going to be with you for very long, and they're crying, Apostle Paul's not going to be with us anymore. And here's this infant church. Do you remember what it was discussed in back in Ephesians chapter 2 about the characteristic of this church, what their slant might have looked like, so to speak? Well, you had verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 2. Therefore remember that formerly you Gentiles in the flesh. So you had these Gentiles, and then you had the Jews. And that somehow the Jews and the Gentiles were supposed to come together. Yesterday, Will was telling me about, what was it, the Dunkards? I don't know, where the Dunkards, is that one? The men on one side, the women on the other. So you're going, okay, Jews, Gentiles, okay. But then you had that middle row. And if you wanted to stay together, you know, you could sit in the middle. Well, you know, come together. That's where I would be. I'd sit with my wife, you know. And there's, by the way, there is one downside to having chairs. You can't, it's hard to get close. It's easier when there's a pew. You guys are looking at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. Well, it's been that long since you sat in a pew. You know, there you go. Yeah. This coming together in unity. Unity. And so here you can imagine what it would be like for the Apostle Paul leaving, and you got the Jews and the Gentiles, and it would be so easy to fall back into some sort of clique, and not be together as a body. And so he says to them, listen, you must be unified. So first of all, that you have to protect the unity. And what's the word? Be diligent. Be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, I want you to think about this word diligent. It means that you have to spare no effort. You're going to have to work hard at being diligent to protect the unity of the body. That means that this is not automatic. Now, you know, some of you know what it's like when cars first came, before automatic transmissions, and you had to use the clutch. There's a few, yeah. And you couldn't just get in the car, turn the key, take it out of park, and psh, away you go. I mean, you had to put the foot in to push the clutch in, you know? And then you had to move the gear shift lever. You had to do all that. But then along came the automatic transmission, right? And it did all that work for you. So all you have to do is get in the car, turn the ignition on, pull it out of park, and just away you go. That's not diligence. Unity is not automatic. You are going to have to be mechanical. That's, you cannot just shift into neutral. You are going to have to put effort and work hard at being at protecting that unity, because it's so often to let our selfishness and our sinful flesh to take over, because you can mark it down. You can mark it down. If there's disunity, the sinful flesh is present. In James chapter 4, and you can apply this in your home, you can apply it at families, at work, wherever you want, just think. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source of your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust or you desire and do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. And you ask and you don't receive it because you ask with the wrong motives so that you may spend it on your pleasures. God calls us to unselfishness. God calls us to unselfishness. Husbands, to love your wives as Christ loved the church. Don't be selfish. Don't be self-centered. Think of the other individual. When there is no unity, when there is disunity, fighting and quarrels and no peace, it's a sign of selfishness. So be diligent. Spare no effort. Work hard at being unified and protect it. Protect the unity. Be diligent, and the next word then is to preserve, to keep under guard, to keep in custody, to hold and retain what's there. You know, when you have children and there comes that time when they have to have braces. Ouch. You know, pain to the pocketbook and to the teeth. But nevertheless, what happens? There comes that day when the braces come off. And the orthodontist steps back, you know, and he's like, whoa, look at my work. He's thrilled, tickled pink, you know. But then you have to do one more thing, and you have to get a what? Retainer. Because we want to preserve the work that the orthodontist did. So understand this, please, that even though you must be diligent to preserve unity, you are not manufacturing it. You are not the originator of unity. It's a work that is already accomplished by someone else. But you must preserve what's there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, "Now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree and there be no divisions among you, but you may be complete in the same mind and in the same judgment." And the Corinthian church had a problem with unity in chapter 1 of that text. And what had happened? Well, I mean this, that each one of you are saying, "Well, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I of Cephas, and I of Christ." I mean, how are you going to beat that one? "Oh man, you're of Christ, I'm just of Paul." You know, but I don't know, they had their own cliques going, and they forgot who they were supposed to be centered upon. But in the early church, they were able to set aside these things, and in Acts chapter 2, we are told what characterized that early church. They continued together, devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. They continued with one mind, verse 46 of Acts chapter 2. They continued with one mind in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. So understand this, please, that we are to all agree, and you understand, how can that happen? Does that mean that we have to walk around and Chuck Swindoll was preaching, he's been preaching through Philippians recently, and he reminded me of this. It's like the little dog, you know, the bobble. It's just kind of, you know, you tap it and it's just hanging there, you know, and just, yes, yes, yes. Chuck Swindoll used that illustration. We just have to do that? No. But we have to understand what we're unified in. Think of the United States of America. For one brief moment, Democrats and Republicans were actually getting along after September 11th. And it actually became kosher to say God. You know? And for one brief moment, a lot of junk didn't matter. Now we're at how many years removed from that occurrence, and we're divided as a country over whether we should be over in Iraq. You have one side saying, but that's where we're fighting the terrorists. And the other side is saying, no, we shouldn't be nation building. What is wrong with those two principles? Not wrong. That's not what I mean. They're not unified under one whole. We've lost what is common. And when the church loses what is common to us, we become divided. The church is not a social organization. We are not the Rotary Club. I submit to you that if all we want to be is a social organization, we should change it to the Penn Valley Community Center. We could keep the same PVCC, that part would fit. But we're Penn Valley Community what? We are a group of believers. A group of believers who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we cannot forget that. And so we have to understand, who then brings about this unity if it is so precious, if we must be diligent in protecting it? So understand this, please. Being diligent to preserve the unity of what? Come on. Thank you. Just wake up. The unity of the what? Spirit. Now, I was a pastor in a Baptist church for 10 years, so I can poke fun at Baptists. It's like if there's a black guy, he can tell black jokes and get away with it. Being a Baptist, I can make fun of Baptists and get away with it. So, the unity of the what? Can't talk about the Spirit. Don't want to be Pentecostal. Don't want to go there. No. Wait a minute. The unity of the Spirit. The unity that accompanies the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Stop and think about that for a moment. That's why it's not you generating unity. But when the Holy Spirit comes in and dwells, it is not, He's there, His presence is indwelling you, and that individual, if I can say that, the person of His presence, the unity that He brings, must be protected and preserved, and you have to work at preserving that unity. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. It's not the self-imposed unity that comes from a pep rally. Like, let's generate the excitement so we feel the excitement. It begins with the indwelling presence and how on fire you are prior to coming up those steps. And if you come into the church bringing all your baggage from the previous week and the garbage, you're affecting unity. Because if you're not right, this horizontal relationship's not going to be right. 1 John 1:7. The person of the Spirit, it is not self-imposed. It accompanies the presence. It is His work. John 14:26-27. Can you imagine what it must have been like to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ? To actually sit and hear His words But then he says, I'm leaving. And you're going, no, no, I want more. I want to become a spiritual sponge and just go and soak it in. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. John chapter 16, verses 13 through 14. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own initiative. But whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of Mine and disclose it to you. The Holy Spirit does not exalt Himself. The Holy Spirit's job, work, is to reveal the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, to speak His words to your heart as if you are sitting in the very presence of Christ Himself. And the unity that comes from the presence of the Holy Spirit is that unity in the church that must be maintained. So gone from the church should be any sign of selfishness and personal agendas, whatever they might be. And when a church gets a hold of the presence of the Holy Spirit, when they are focused upon God and who He is, when there is a unity of that purpose, of exalting God, of worshiping Him, listen, understand this. What would it be like if you came to church and it wasn't like, I got to attend the 4-H meeting, or I've got to go to this meeting, or I've got to go to this club, and this is just my social calendar, and I plugged it in here. And is that what church is? Do we equate church with a Rotary Club? Not that that's necessarily wrong, but it's more. It's the worship of God Himself. And if our daily walk, if our daily walk with God and our personal worship, if it's like baseball and you practice all week, then Sunday's like the game. Woohoo! And someday there's going to be the World Series. Yeah! It's so much more. So much more. The unity of the Spirit, the church, the assembling of the believers to worship God and who He is, to walk together, preserve that unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So, protect the unity, the person of unity, the Spirit, and then persist in that unity. Persist in that unity, because there is to be a bond of peace. Peace. Harmony. The bond of peace. Have you ever taken Elmer's glue, put two pieces of wood together, and just clamped her down tight? And then what happens if that wood ever breaks at that joint? Is it right down where that wood is, where the glue was? I mean, perfect. It's usually there's a tearing and ripping apart on both sides of the bond somewhere. Maybe you have a little piece of the one side and a little bit of the other. It's never a clean break because there was that bond. That bond that held tight. And so if what Elmer's is to wood, peace is to unity. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding. We are to live at peace with one another. We are to pursue peace with all men. And so we need to take that peace of God and understand this. That was the end of it. Philippians 4:7, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So understand this, please. We are talking today to people, to some who do not know peace. If the devil can come into the church and destroy that atmosphere of unity and peace, he goes, got one up on you. Devil one, church zero. And you say, we can't have that. Oh, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Sometimes you get so, it's like dysfunctional families, whatever that is, psychobabble. You can get so used to what is unnatural that you think that is the natural way to go. And you need to understand that you must be diligent and work hard and persevere and preserve the unity, which means you must examine self. And self must be last. So can you imagine this? Well, we're here to win others to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're just here to teach and to make disciples and to follow Him. That's what we're here for. So I don't care what projector you get. Who cares? I don't. Now, I certainly wish I had, you know, a certain kind of model, but am I going to throw fits about it? I shouldn't. Does it matter what color anything is? Can you imagine what would happen? No, you can have your color. No, you can go ahead and have your color. It's okay. What would happen if we would do that? It doesn't matter. All that stuff, it just doesn't matter. Have it your way. It's okay. Just do it your way. It's all right. You know? There's a little saying, just start a building program and you'll split the church.
I want this, I want that.
Just like a bunch of kids. And you lose sight of who you are in Christ and what you are supposed to be. You can have unity if you understand your purpose first. Of why you are here and what you are to do. And forget the other junk. And then you might say, yeah, but Pastor Dave, I see all that other stuff out there and you've got all this, you know, stuff going on in Christianity. What does that unity look like? I'm glad you asked that question. Because I will tell you what the answer is from the Word. It is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called and one hope of your calling. It is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Hold on to your seatbelts when we get there. One God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in you all. It answers the question in the text. That's what the unity is to look like and to be centered upon. Right there. The first thing that you should consider this morning is, first of all, of whether or not you have peace with God. And I'll submit to you this, that if you are here and you are not at peace with God, two things. Number one, you don't know the Lord as Savior. Or number two, you are a believer that has some sin issues that you need to deal with. The first thing, as far as salvation is concerned, do you understand how sin separates us from a holy God and there can be no peace? Many people, when they think about their Christian life, they think about the fact that they go to the Lord each day and they just ask forgiveness of your sins. or through the week, or whenever you might do that. And they think that Jesus Christ just died on the cross for those sins. You have to understand where I'm going here, because if you take one of my sentences out, it's going to sound like heresy. But if Jesus Christ just died on the acts that you committed, okay, and you're saying, Lord, just forgive that act, and just forgive that act, and just forgive that act, there's something that you did not recognize as it relates to your salvation. The Bible says that we are in Adam, we all what? No, me yes, but die. Okay? If we are not Adam, what that is saying is, understand this please, that I am born with a sin nature. And if I never, ever, 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 ever sinned, that's kind of impossible to do if you have a sin nature. But if I am born, think with me for a moment, if I am born with a sin nature, and I never, ever, 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 ever sinned, what would still happen to me? You would still die. It's not just the acts of your sin that Jesus Christ died for. It is that sin nature that was put under the blood of the cross of Calvary. That's why, for the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is only one way to peace with God, and that's through the Christ, through the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world. Oh, get a hold of that. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Listen, get a hold of that word belief. Because we're living in a day when all kinds of religions are using the same terminology, and you can say the same words but mean totally different things. And belief in Christ is a complete dependence upon the work of Jesus on Calvary's tree. He did the work for you and for me. And the only way that there can be a joining of me with that presence of the holy of a holy God in heaven is through Jesus Christ who died for me. He did that work. And that's when it becomes a blessed thing. Then it becomes real to me to say, you know what? This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The presence of a holy God, the wrath of a holy God, is appeased through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I depend upon Him, that's peace. He brings that peace. My dear friend, if you could just get before the Lord sometime, if you don't have that, to call upon Him and put in your own words, if you could understand that concept in John 3, it says, if I believe not, I am condemned already because I do not believe in the name of the Holy Begotten Son of God. I stand condemned already as an unbeliever. And could you recognize the truth of Jesus paying the price of your sin? The wages of your sin is what? Death. That's the consequence of your sin nature, not which would include all the acts that you would do. The Bible says that the heart is what? Deceitful and desperately wicked. It's hard to know your own heart sometimes. Because you go, where'd that come from? You know? And if we could take your heart, not just the external, and we could put that on a big screen TV. See ya. Bye. How do you know? That would be the old dog with the tail between the legs. Burr, burr. I'm out of here. Ah. But Jesus Christ paid the price of your sin so that you could have access to the holy presence of God. And have peace with Him. That's step number one. Step number two, to have those sins forgiven and to live out what you are That's cool. And you start walking around. You're not going at home. You're not saying, mine, I got my rights. I want to... Sometimes that are, you know, that comes up. Okay, I'll admit, even the pastor. And I have to stop back and say, you know what? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Because I don't matter. And he does. And what would happen in a church if you go all that stuff apart from Christ? Doesn't matter. Just doesn't. And you just... What kind of atmosphere would there be? To have that kind of peace. To have that kind of unity. To look to Him and to be focused upon Him and who He is. Appropriate the truths of God's Word. And that's why we opened up this message with Psalm 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. Work at it. It's not going to just happen. You can't shift into neutral. If it's already a product of the Holy Spirit, then you must protect it and preserve it. Don't let it get away. Draw closer to Him. Get rid of self. Forget all the junk that doesn't matter. And run around saying, I'm going to honor and prefer you. Go ahead. We'd never get out of the building. Nobody would go out the door. No, you go. No, you go. Oh, it's okay, you go. You know? Go ahead. But are there guidelines to that? Yeah, that's coming up. Because there's one Lord. We don't say, come on, we got the church of the rock and the trees. We will hug trees next week. No, wait a minute. Doesn't mean unity is not everything, all things. There are still parameters. And that's coming up. And we'll talk about them. But understand this, please. Number one, do you know Christ as Savior so that you can have peace with God? And number two, are you a believer that is at peace? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Would you take the time to respond to the message in some way? If there's something you need to confess to the Lord, do that. Is there a brother in Christ that you're at odds with? Is there a family member? Are you here and are you at odds with God? There might be some stuff to work through. Feed upon the Word and let the Word change you into what He wants you to be. Our gracious Father, Heavenly Father, will you help us to take the Word this morning and apply it to our heart and life? For we pray it in Thy name. Amen.